This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Scientists have known that in recent years, the Great Lakes temperatures have been warming up, and the results of those warmer temperatures are starting to become more clear. There's been a rise in algae growth, even in Lake Superior.
Danielle Kading is a reporter at WPR Superior Bureau. She's been following the story in the northern part of the state and joins us now to tell us more. Danny, welcome back.
Thanks, Veronica.
Well, Danny, Lake Superior is known for being cold, very, very cold, and crystal clear. Is that changing?
Yes, it is changing. We've seen warmer than average temperatures in recent years, and that trend has been there for about the past 20 to 30 years that we've seen warming temperatures in Lake Superior due to atmospheric changes and the warming air temperatures. And so this is a little bit different, though. This story with algae that the study is based off of that was published last week, it's not the kind of algae that most people think of when they see it in the news now with that blue-green algae, the cyanobacteria that's causing these blooms that people think is making the lakes warmer. Those do occur, but this is about algae that's on the bottom of the lake, these diatoms. It was explained to me that it's like a shape of a Petri dish glass with a bunch of holes in it, and it's this type of algae called Cyclotella. And this type of algae is being found more and more in recent decades. And the presence of more of this type of algae, they're saying, is a suggestion that the warming air temperatures is contributing to these changes in all of the Great Lakes and the physics and chemistry of the lakes, and that that is causing these changes at the bottom of the food web.
So do we know how this kind of bottom algae affects the ecosystem of Lake Superior?
Yeah. So, I mean, like with any food chain, everything at the bottom affects, you know, basically what happens at the top, right? Because you have organisms that feed on this algae, like zooplankton or the invertebrates. And then if these organisms like the invertebrates and the zooplankton have to change because these bottom feeding kind of algae are changing, then that means that other things at the top of the food chain might change as well, like fish species that depend on the zooplankton and the invertebrates for food.
Now, you spoke to Ewan Reavy, a senior research associate with the Natural Resources Research Institute in Duluth, and we've got a little clip of him here mentioning some of the reasons to be concerned with this. Here he is.
The Great Lakes being almost 90% of the surface water resource on the continent, that's when we start to think, well, this is something we should probably be concerned about if we're seeing the base of the food web change in relationship to changing atmospheric temperatures. We should follow up on this.
So pretty much what you were getting at there, Danny. So what happens next? Now that we know that this is happening, it's happening at the bottom of the food chain. I mean, do we know, is this a trend?
Yeah, I mean, we're definitely seeing these changes occur over time. I mean, the focus of this particular study that was published on December 2nd looks at sediment cores, and they studied fossil remains in these sediment cores from all the Great Lakes to identify changes over the last 200 to 300 years. And so what they're seeing is that this type of algae is being found in more numbers more recently in the last 20 to 30 years, but really you've seen more of it in the last 60 or so years. So now what they're saying is that they need to take a closer look at that, that they are looking for funding so that they can see what exactly are the implications if these changes continue to occur, if what's happening right now at the bottom of the food chain is going to continue to happen in the future.
Danny, how would you compare the health of Lake Superior to some of the other Great Lakes? I mean, I know Lake Erie has struggled a lot with pollution in the past. How does Lake Superior stack up?
Well, obviously, Lake Superior is much, much, much larger in terms of the surface area, and it's quite deep. So you don't necessarily see the impacts that you would with, because it's a little bit more of a shallower lake. And you do see some impacts near the shoreline and shallow bay areas where we've seen over the summer. We saw again another instance of blue-green algae near the Apostle Islands in the shoreline area on Lake Superior. That's something that was first seen 4 years ago after the 2012 flood that hit the Duluth Superior area. But, you know, for the most part, Lake Superior is still very pristine, very cold, and so you're not seeing the kind of warming that you are in other Great Lakes. But we are still seeing warming in the surface temperatures on the Great Lakes and in Lake Superior, and so that's something to be concerned about.
Now, looking back at Lake Erie again, that's a lake that has dealt with runoff and high amounts of phosphorus, which have contributed to the algae blooms. Is runoff maybe a part of Lake Superior's new algae problems, too?
Not in this particular study. Like I said, this one's a little bit different than the typical news that you've seen more of recently with the blue-green algae blooms that deal with that type of runoff, whether it's from nutrients or phosphorus from either cities or agricultural operations. This is different. This is happening. This has been happening for decades at the bottom of these lakes. And so if you're seeing this indicator in the fossils of of these algae over time, then that's suggesting that something's already happening and that's something to pay attention to, because if it's starting at the bottom, then it's only a matter of time, the researchers fear, that it's going to be seen elsewhere at the top of the food chain.
So it's not phosphorus, it's not runoff, it's not that kind of blue-green algae. So based on what we know, is the answer simply climate change?
Yes. I mean, they peer-reviewed this study, and there was a lot of pushback, according to you and Revy, about, you know, making this correlation between changing air temperatures and lake warming and that changing the processes in the lake to cause these changes with this certain type of algae. But at the end of the day, scientists agree that the air temperatures are warming, that warming of the air temperatures is changing the conditions in the lake for the physics and the chemistry, and that is changing what's happening to algae at the bottom of the food chain.
Danny, do we have a sense of how quickly this is happening?
Well, I mean, quickly is kind of a relative term, right? Because, I mean, I asked that of the scientists that I interviewed for this story, and, you know, they're saying that a lot of what they're seeing, the rise in this certain type of algae in the last 20 to 30 years, that if you look at that over time, that's pretty fast. You know, they looked at sediment cores over the last 200 to 300 years, and most of the changes that they're seeing are in the last 60 years. So that's an implication that things, you know, as far as ecosystem changes, if you look at time like a clock, you know, that might be pretty quick to the scientific community.
You live up in northern Wisconsin. Have you seen any other indications that the lake is changing, thinking about things like ice cover and when the ice forms or anything else that catches your eyes? Not a scientist, but someone who lives with the lake as part of her life.
Yeah, you know, as someone who was in the middle of the polar vortex in 2014, I mean, we were definitely seeing the indication of more ice cover and how that's affecting changes in lakes for the fish and also for the fisheries. And so, yeah, we're definitely seeing changes. Is it related to climate change? I don't know that there's a lot of agreement on that. I mean, people are saying, you know, these things fluctuate over time. You know, there's a lot that we don't know about the Great Lakes and about Lake Superior. So the consensus seems to be that we need to study it more. We need to pin down what the reasons are that we're seeing these kind of results and what are all the different factors that are leading to them.
And when will we be getting more information? Is there funding in place, and what happens next?
Well, the research for this particular study was funded through a collaborative agreement with the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, and it included work from the Natural Resources Research Institute here in Duluth, also from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, and Environment and Climate Change in Canada. So that work is ongoing, and now the next step for them is to look more in depth at the processes in each lake to try and pinpoint what factors may be affecting these changes within the food chain.
Now, obviously, this is not tourist season in, not the height of tourist season anyway, in northern Wisconsin, but is this the sort of thing that could impact that industry in northern Wisconsin?
Definitely. I mean, if you look at northern Wisconsin as kind of a hub for people who love to go fishing, I mean, you look at the Brule River and cold water systems where people want to get brook trout, coastal brook trout, or other fish species that thrive in cold water lakes like Lake Superior, if that starts to change, if we're starting to see this warming that's affecting processes at the bottom of the lake, and then that affects things kind of like this domino effect all the way up through the food chain, then potentially, you know, they're not saying that anything is disappearing. They have pretty vague predictions based on the science that they have, right? That's why they need to study it more. But it could spell changes for the top of the food chain. Maybe we won't see the kind of cold water fish that we see in Lake Superior right now if things continue to warm.
Danny, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks, Veronica.
That was Danielle Kading, reporter at WPR Superior Bureau, and she was with us there talking about environmental concerns as algae continues to grow in Lake Superior.